Whether you're buying a new car, a used car, or refinancing your current car, FedChoice Federal Credit Union could help save you money. FedChoice makes buying a car so easy that you can do everything right from your smartphone or on a computer. Become a member today and you can take advantage of their great rates and financing options. Find out more at FedChoice.org. That's FedChoice.org. Membership open to federal employees, including contractors and their families. FedChoice Federal Credit Union insured by NCUA.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you all so much for joining us. I'm very, very honored today on the Good Word podcast. We have Bobette Brown and Dr. Cedric Brown from Marriage the Holy Hookup. I got it right.
Yes.
Woohoo! Yay! Yes. Thank you all so, so much for being here. Obviously, everyone listening, be sure to subscribe. We are on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, everywhere that podcasts play. We also have a very robust and booming Facebook group that I was just chatting with you all about. Mm-hmm. But right now, the next several minutes is about you all and what you all do. I'm really excited for you all to share. First and foremost, tell us who you are and why you're here.
Okay, fantastic.
Well, again, I'm Cedric Brown. This is my lovely wife, Bobette Brown. We've been married for 30 years. It'll be 31
Woo!
This
yes.
year.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I'm inspired.
And we have a ministry, if you will, that we conduct called Marriage the Holy Hookup. Our tagline is where we're helping the singles get ready.
And the marriage keep it steady.
And we felt the need really to help singles get a perspective, the single side of it, to get a perspective on marriage from a biblical perspective. There's so many different perspectives out there. And
there are.
And we thought, who better to learn from than the one who created marriage?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so that's why it's a marriage ministry, but we, with a twist, we involve singles to give them, if you will, a bird's eye view, or give them a perspective, show them what it's all about before they get into it.
Absolutely. It's been so great because, you know, so many single people, you know, when they get married, they're like, I didn't sign up for this. And we're like, oh, but you did. Mm-hmm. And so it's been so much fun. It's been so rewarding to, you know, a lot of times people are reactive.
Mm-hmm.
But when they become a part or join in with the movement that we have with Marriage the Holy Hookup, they have an opportunity to see it before they enter it. I mean, when we do our conferences or we do any type of
webinars
or any instructional formats, we keep it 100. Like, we want them to have an idea of what it's like so that, I mean, it's we can say we've been married for almost 31 years, but, I mean, make no mistake about it.
There have been some rough roads.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So what I think is so fascinating about what you all do, which is a little bit atypical and different from what we've seen out there, is that you all are able to kind of merge and mix and fuse your ministry and how you can help singles and also married couples at the same time.
Exactly.
How do you do that? Because it's two completely different worlds.
It is. It really is. And so when we have sessions, we do webinars, and we do conferences, we have sessions that involve both the married and the singles. Mm-hmm. But we also have sessions where we have sessions for singles only, and we have sessions for the married couples only. And so the sessions where we have both, it is our job, or it's our desire to give them a perspective, or to show them this is what marriage is about. Yeah. That it's about communicating. It's about sacrificing. It's about giving.
Selflessness.
It's about moving from selfishness, as my wife said, to selflessness. And so that's how we merge. And then we give them an opportunity to ask questions. We also have panel discussions. So we do a variety of things so that we can hear from the singles and find out what questions do you have that maybe we have not covered.
And you know what? The beautiful thing is, this year, for the last 2 years, we've been doing Marriage the Holy Hookup. And, you know, the play on holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y.
Right.
It's because ultimately we want two whole people, to the degree that we can, be whole. We want to be whole and healed, coming together under the auspices of a holy God who created marriage, which is why we really, really focus on that. But the beautiful thing this year, we've been doing the Holy Hookup conferences live in Silver Spring. We started off doing it as a phone conference.
Yeah.
And teleconference, mm-hmm. and then from there, we started doing workshops and sessions, and then we hosted our first conference, which sold out in like, what, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. 2 months or 2 weeks,
wow.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It sold out really fast in Silver Spring, Maryland. But this year, we thought we'd do something different. This year, we decided we're going to go to the people instead of having them come to us in Silver Spring.
Because there's some that could not come to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we said, this year, we're going to take it on the road.
We're going to them.
So we've been to Miami. We've been to North Carolina.
We've been to Barbados. Yeah, we have some more dates coming up.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about it that we're really, really enjoying is that you would think that most people that invite us in, they would say, can you just come in for our marrieds? But there's a movement happening. And now what they're saying is, can you come in for our singles and mm-hmm. our marrieds?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I think people are starting to see the value of actually having us together collectively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we may do some breakout sessions during that time, but really we're noticing that the leaders are really asking us to allow these people to actually kind of hear some of the questions that married people have.
So we are a faith-based podcast, so I have to ask you all, how does your faith impact what you're doing? Especially, and I know there has to be some challenges when you're talking about singles, because the whole single dating world, praise God that I'm not having to be in that stage of life right now. But it's a lot going on. I have girlfriends who are single. I know people who are single, and there's this whole like online social media component, the apps.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
How do you incorporate your faith into all of that?
Faith is everything.
Absolutely.
It's everything. And again, Tisha, like I mentioned earlier, who better to learn from about marriage than the one who created marriage, mm-hmm. who is God?
Mm-hmm.
And so we infuse our faith into our marriage. If it were not for God, I don't know if we would still be
Absolutely.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have a relationship really with him, because you know, when you do your marriage vows, you say these marital vows in the sight of God,
mm-hmm.
and it's really not only just you and the person you're marrying, but it's God as well. The Bible says that a three-strand cord is not easily broken.
Mm.
And when you look at it from the marital perspective, it's the husband, the wife, and God.
Mm-hmm.
It takes those three.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I heard somebody once say, co-pastor Susie Owens
mm-hmm.
said,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have to want the marriage more than you want the mate.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for mm-hmm. that to happen, you really have to have a firm foundation in God. And because there are times, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have to weather storms.
Yeah.
And you have to rely on your faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than just feelings and emotions.
It is.
This euphoria. When we hear the word love, we're thinking, oh, I'm so in love with him. You know, walking on the beach, holding hands, watching the sunset. Yeah. No, that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
Love, really, love, when we talk about the highest form of love, love is a commitment
yes.
mm-hmm.
to another
mm-hmm.
at your cost. Love is fulfilling the need of another at your expense.
Mm, mm.
Lust is fulfilling your desire at the expense of another.
Mm.
And so
Ronnie, are you taking notes? And for folks listening, Ronnie is one of our co-producers on The Good Word, who I work with on this podcast. But Ronnie, please, that was powerful. You have to repeat that one more time for folks who may have just had it gloss over, because that was a moment for me.
Love is fulfilling the need. And listen to the terminology. Love is fulfilling the need of another at your expense. Lust
Absolutely.
Is fulfilling your desire at the expense of another. So if he or she says they love you, but they're only receiving from you and
mm-hmm.
never giving to you,
mm-hmm.
in actuality, what they're saying is, I lust you, not
mm-hmm.
I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Because love gives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the characteristic of
mm-hmm.
love. And in a marriage, you have to keep in mind that you don't enter the marital relationship with the expectation of what you can get out of it. It's all about, what can I give to it?
Mm-hmm. And that's really a transformational way of thinking.
It is.
I promise you that when I got married and I said for better or for worse, I meant for better or for better. and in health
and in good health and in greater
yeah.
health.
No, I actually performed a ceremony and I said for better or for worse. And she said, for better or for worse. I said, for richer or for poorer. She said, for richer or for richer. And so, you know, people, although they say those words, mm-hmm. but in their mind, they may have something else totally different.
Absolutely.
Right. They do. So, we're in a society now where it feels like the sanctity of marriage is in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
It's because, again, we have to move from selfishness to selflessness by nature.
Mm-hmm.
Tisha, by nature, all of us, we are selfish.
Yeah.
Even the most giving person that you know is selfish because that's our nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are times when people do things for you and their reason for doing it, their motivation is not necessarily you. It's so that at a time when they can come back and say, get something from you because they feel you owe them.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of us have this idea, or we have this attitude of entitlement, mm-hmm. that this is owed to me. And so we live in a selfish society. And like my wife said, that marriage is counter, it goes against the grain of today's society.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against it, where God is calling us to be selfless. And we live in a world where we are selfish.
And I think, dear, would you also say that, I mean, of course the enemy would want to destroy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, when he looks at the fact that he's been totally disengaged from this sphere where he thought he was going to be the one and only, I mean, he looks at marriage, the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if he can tear this marriage up, the one that God created, the bridegroom, we are the bride of Christ. Of course he wants to do that.
Yeah.
So what I've been hearing a lot lately, just in conversation, is that, you know, we're in a society where we raise our daughters and we love our sons. And so now you have a sector of the population of men, and this goes across all ethnicities and socioeconomic levels, where you have, you know, women who are preparing for marriage and planning for marriage and dating for marriage, and you have men who are maybe, and this is not a generalization, it's never all, so I just want to throw that out there, it's not all,
yeah.
We'll just say some, mm-hmm. who are planning and dating and preparing to date for sport, mm-hmm. and fun, and then you merge that and then you have a mess. You have late night phone calls with someone crying on the phone, you know, like, so
mm-hmm.
So how do you speak to two different sectors of the population that are having different messages ingrained in them?
Hmm. And when you're talking about the two different populations, you're talking about the men,
yes,
and the women.
Yes.
I think that, first of all, it's I've been told that girls mature faster than guys. But I think that as a young lady, if you are at that point where you want to get married and you have a gentleman in mind, you need to make sure that your head is on as well as your heart. Sometimes we are more in tune to go with our heart. We turn our heart on and we turn our head off.
Right.
And you see signs, but you feel like, oh, I can change him or her. And we turn our head off. But you have to enter this with your eyes wide open. And you have to make sure,
absolutely,
that what you are seeing is what you're getting.
Because marriage only magnifies,
absolutely,
very true,
everything that you like, everything that you don't like.
Absolutely.
And
very
I'm
true.
Speaking as someone who's been married for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everything is just magnified.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And so you have to get to the point, Tisha, where you, as my wife, as she has eloquently have showed me, that when you move beyond dating and you start courting, when you think of a court, you go before the court. There, you can tell, yeah. it better than I can.
And even dating is an opportunity to gather data.
Mm-hmm.
And so the
That's
ladies
good.
That I really, I'm coaching, I mentor, that are going through this relationship process, I'm constantly reminding them, do not turn your heart on. You are there on a fact-finding mission. If you decide this is someone, I want you to pay attention to everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every single thing that you can imagine. So you're gathering data, or courting is he is actually on trial, mm-hmm. a court. Mm-hmm. And so you're asking those questions because you want to make sure, is this something, this is someone I really want to allow my heart to right. become connected to. Mm-hmm. So I try to encourage, especially young ladies, I really try to focus and help them not to turn on their heart until they're ready to move to the next level. Gather the data. If you know, and if a young lady and you, she notices she's doing everything. Well, I said, is that the type of husband you want? A husband that wants you to do everything? Because he's showing you right now, he expects you to take the initiative. He wants you to do everything. And right now you're like, oh, it's wonderful. I said, it's wonderful right now because you're not married. Right. I promise you, you're going to get real tired of that like the day after the honeymoon.
And check out his friends.
Yes.
Check out his family. Check out how he treats his mother. Yes. Because you not only marry a person, but you marry their history. Mm-hmm. And so you want to look at all that, all the environment that he grew up in. You want to ask those type of questions. You want to meet those people.
Yeah. What is his relationship?
That's first and foremost. Absolutely. Does he have a relationship with God? Not with church.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But does he have a relationship with
yes.
God?
Yes.
And when mm-hmm. he talks about God, how does he talk about it? Does he talk about him from the perspective that he has a relationship with him? Or that does he talk about him that he from the perspective that he knows him or that he knows about him?
Mm.
And there's two different things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It is. So what about your message for the men?
It's raw,
yes.
It's real, and I hit him straight between the eyes because the man is called to, quite honestly, to sacrificially love his wife. That's what we are called to do. When it's all said and done, we're called to sacrificially love our wives. And so you have to make sure that the man you're marrying, that he has that potential, that he loves you. But first, that he loves God more than he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That he loves God. And so when I talk to men, I talk to them from the perspective of sacrificing for your wife, protecting mm-hmm. your wife, mm-hmm. praying for your wife. You're the priest of your home, mm-hmm. praying for your wife. And you don't have to have these long drawn out prayers. You don't right. have to be more articulate than her because God is looking at the condition of your heart, mm-hmm. not necessarily your speech. Mm-hmm. And he is looking at the sincere desires of your heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I talk about those things where you're going to have to realize you're no longer single. So you can't do what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. You are accountable. Your first level of accountability. And men, and I'm saying this in general, I'm generalizing. Mm-hmm. Men, but for most part, we don't want to be accountable. Mm-hmm. Present company included. We do not want to be accountable.
Why is that? Why though?
Because why? I want to do what I want to do when I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I don't want to be. It's something in us. We just do not want it. But we need it.
Right. Right.
But we need it.
Right.
I tell the story all the time. If we got time. I tell
we
the story
do.
All the time.
We have time.
I went to, if I named a restaurant, you would know. It's a famous restaurant in D.C. I went to a restaurant to get some food.
Uh-huh. Tell the story.
I'm going to tell the story. And I ordered the food, and I was at takeout. And I said to the young lady, I said, oh, I want a piece of the chocolate cake. Can you add that to my order? And she looked at me, and she said, chocolate cake. Just the way I like my men.
For the audience, he is chocolate.
And so it took me by surprise. I got my food and my chocolate cake, and I got up out of there. and I left, but it played with my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It played with my mind what she said. I'm not going to lie. I was flattered.
Mm-hmm.
And it played with my mind. And see, what you have to realize, what you leave in the dark will grow.
Absolutely.
And so my first level of accountability is my wife. And so when I got home, the first thing came out of my mouth when I got home, I did not want to tell her, I needed to tell her. Now I'm talking about T. Cedric Brown. Mm-hmm. I said, guess what this girl said to me today?
She
said, what did she say? And I recounted the story back to my wife, what she said. And when I opened my mouth and I made myself accountable to my wife, mm-hmm. the strength of the thought left me.
Mm-hmm.
The strength of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was no longer impactful mm-hmm. because I made myself mm-hmm. accountable. It's something about when you confess, when you open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says they overcame by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And it is when you open your mouth. And men, for the longest, we are dying of silence. We are dying silently because we will not open our mouth because for some reason we want this facade. You see this facade that, hey, I'm okay.
Right.
I'm strong. I can handle it. Famous last words. I can handle this.
And there's no harm. There's no harm in getting help and opening your mouth and not
none
being
whatsoever.
Okay. There's no harm at all in that.
And that's why I advocate with men. Who are you accountable to? You need to have an accountability partner. If you're married, you need to be accountable to your wife. You need to have another brother who's on the same level with you, who's married, who is strong. Watch this. You want someone to be accountable to that loves you but not impressed with you. My wife, I know she loves me, but she is not impressed with me. She will tell me the truth, and her reason for doing that is because she loves me.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's when we start talking about the whole part, the W-H-O-L-L-Y, the holy being whole. Just like he's sharing that, it's that experience, it's important for me to make it a place of safety where he can share that. He should be able to tell me anything that he needs to talk about. And I shouldn't go up. What you do? How did she, what made her say? I didn't know. I want him to feel that he can come and tell me anything. I want him to be vulnerable. I need to be vulnerable.
Yes.
If we didn't make it nearly 31 years because we could not be vulnerable. And we that meant that we had to take some steps.
Yes.
We started talking about
it's a process.
The whole
yes.
part of people. Even he shared a few minutes ago about how we bring things into our marriages. And for me specifically, I was raped and beaten my first year of college. Now, I thought that it was over and done, and I was not even going to think about
and
it.
And we
anymore.
Talked about it before we got married. She shared that with me. Mm-hmm. And she shared it in a sense like it was over.
But then one day, he just touched me. And not in a sexual way. Mm-hmm. He just touched me, and it triggered my rape. And for me, he became the rapist. Now, it could have been like, he could have said, you know what, that girl, she's crazy. She needs to get some help. I'm out of here. No, we had to walk through that process together.
We had to walk through that.
Because it became
our issue. It was no longer her issue. Because when I married her, I married again, you marry the history.
Yes.
So I married everything that came along with beautiful Bobette. And so you have to realize that there's some things that you don't even know that's in you.
Right.
Because
right.
when you get married, your relationship takes on a whole nother dynamic.
Right.
Stuff comes out that you didn't know. And I was so grateful that he felt vulnerable where he could come and tell me, because I really want to be that wife where he can just say anything. And then vice versa, I could share with him what I was going through. Not only that, but the countless other things that we've had to walk through
exactly.
in this season of nearly 31 years of marriage. That's the power of, to me, God says, I will supply all of your need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If any man lack wisdom, he said, what do? Ask me, and I'm going to give it. He has already given us provision, but it's up to us to utilize it.
Right.
So if he's going to supply the need, and my husband is the person that God has in my life, and vice versa, then we want to capitalize on that. Together, we really make a great team.
So what is your advice for singles who are looking to get married and marrieds who are working to keep it steady?
Singles who are getting ready, while you have this season, don't despise where you are. Stop, and I say this respectfully, stop looking at the next season. Be engaged where you are now. What can you do now to prepare you for the next season? If you got bills you need to pay off, pay them off. If you want to go back to school, go back to school. You have no commitments. All these things. If you want to buy a house and you can afford it, buy your house. If you want to travel, travel. Get to know you. And these are the ways you get to know you. Before you get into a relationship, you need to know who you are. You don't get into a relationship so somebody can tell you who you are. You should already know. And that's why we call it holy hookup, because it takes two whole people to make a whole marriage. It's not half plus a half equals one. No, it's one plus one equals one. That's God's mathematics. And so take this time to get to know you. We talk to a lot of singles, and by listening to them, the impression that I get is that they're just sitting with their arms folded, waiting for somebody to come and rescue them.
And we're like, what has God called you to do?
Exactly.
I mean, why aren't you fulfilling your purpose?
Exactly.
But you don't, you think like God is just can't fulfill his purpose in you until you get married? No, there's a world out there.
Exactly.
There's so much out there.
Try different things. Yes. Experience the world. Yes. And you'll be amazed. In the process of doing that,
that's right.
God will bring you, or he will show you who you, we were doing life.
Yes.
Individually.
I was in the United States Army jumping out of perfectly good plane.
I don't know why. I don't know why. To this day, I still don't know why you were jumping out of perfectly good planes.
I have a titanium knee to prove that.
Yes, you do.
But we were doing life. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah, we were doing life. And she wasn't waiting. As a matter of fact, she often tells a story that when I told her that you know, God said she was my wife, she said, well, he hasn't shown me anything. But I wasn't deterred. I said, he will, and he did. But she was living her life. If I had to sum it up, Tisha, live your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Live life. Live life.
And for the married folks, what would you say? We just say, listen, I think in every marriage, there are seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow the season to outlive you.
Mm.
It will change.
Yes.
I promise you. Mm-hmm. Get the help that you need. Go to a licensed therapist. And they allow them to help you a lot of times, specifically as relates to the church, is a lot of times we just go to the mm-hmm. leaders that are in the church. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be offensive, but at the end of the day, our pastors are our pastors. And yes, they have wisdom and knowledge. But when I needed my knee replaced, I have a primary care physician that handles pretty much everything. But when I need my knee replaced from jumping out of those perfectly good planes, I went to a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an orthopedic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to encourage those married people that are out there is, listen, if you run into a situation,
right,
go get the help you need.
Exactly.
Don't expect your pastors,
mm-hmm.
unless they've been trained and skilled.
Exactly.
And
if they're licensed.
Licensed in that area.
Exactly.
Yes, make yourself accountable, but find you a therapist that really, there's so many therapists out there now that focus on that specific area that you're struggling or that you're dealing with in your marriage. But I think on the other side of that,
mm-hmm.
on the other side of whatever they're going through, there is so much healing. There's so
absolutely.
Much joy. There's so
absolutely.
Much power. Purpose is there. There are other people that are here in the world that are waiting for them to show us that you mean I can take a licking and keep on ticking.
Yeah. And also, I would like to add, dear, that the Bible says that we reap what we sow. Whatever you sow, whatever you plant, you're going to reap that. And you always reap more than you sow. You look at an apple tree. Apple tree came from one seed. Everything that tree is, it started with one seed. You plant one seed and you get a tree. On that tree, you get apples. You don't get one apple from one seed. You get a tree from one seed and you get apples. And so whatever you sow, whatever you plant, that's what you're going to receive. What is it that you want to receive from your spouse? Plant that.
And that is the good word. Thank you all so much. Very, very powerful messages and advice and nuggets that I think folks, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you want to be married, can definitely take along with them. Bobette Brown, Dr. Cedric Brown. And tell us one more time how we can learn more about Marriage the Holy Hookup.
Well, you go to our website, holyhookup.com. We also on different social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook. You can reach us there as well. And that handle is, honey?
Oh, the Holy Hookup.
Awesome. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.